crap out of them more.
Wait a minute.
All right, well, we're in Proverbs chapter 22. And we're in verse 14. I'll go ahead and get started. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 14. We're only going to try to go through the verse 29 tonight, but this will be fun. The mouth of an adulteress is a deep pit. He who is under the Lord's wrath will fall into it. So what are we talking about here?
The one that falls in the trap.
Yeah.
So she.
Yeah. Adultery is a seductive and sultry thing, isn't it? That's kind of what the Bible looks at it as. It's a seductive opportunity to do things in private and in secret. And I think this verse alludes to the fact that in the way that King Solomon wrote this, is she is very seductive. It could also be said that he is very seductive, right? We've said that all along, that this could go either way. But that seduction and that temptation leads to a very, very, very deep and dark hole. And creates issues and problems.
The word picture there of a deep pit. It's not like you're stepping in a pothole.
It's not a pothole
like that. You know what I mean? It's not like you're going to trip through. It's deep. Not going to be easy to get out of it.
It could lead literally to hellfire.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. The Bible also talks about that too. Like when a woman hides that she's married and sleeps with another man, she's definitely leading herself to more trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, they both are, you know.
Yeah. It's a troublesome pit that you end up in. Bad decisions. Who does it affect?
It affects the soul.
Yeah. Who? Who are the people that are affected by an adulterous relationship?
At least three people.
All parties.
At least three? Who are the three?
Husband, wife, adulterer.
Yeah.
Kids. It could be
kids.
Yeah.
The rest of the family.
Same with porn and masturbation. It doesn't really affect you. It's a sin to your own self. It's a sin to God. It affects relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It affects everything.
It does. So it's part of this giant pit that is hard to get out of once you get in it. And it's interesting that it also points out that if you are under the Lord's wrath, what does it say? You're going to fall in?
I think they're more likely to.
Yeah. So are they falling into this because of God's curse against them? Or is it because they've turned their back on God that they fall into this pit?
I think they've turned their back on God because God still loves them no matter what. It's just like you could go back to Adam and Eve, mm-hmm. where Satan corrupts Adam and Eve through that fruit and twisted it.
Yep.
Because God was trying to protect them with their well-being. And I think that's what God tries to do us, protect us from well-being. But if we turn our back on God, then we dig ourselves in a deeper hole that we can't get out of.
That is correct.
God gives us that free will.
He gives us that freedom to make those poor choices, doesn't he?
Yeah, so that, I think affects the people who turn their back on God.
Good.
I definitely think that this would fall under that category of a fool, for sure. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah, so there's where we... Oh, hey, can you get him a sheet of paper? That's where we kind of go next. So we have these categories that we have. Sorry, I didn't get this to you earlier. There you go. And there's some. Hey, Eli, can you get a pen back there, please? Here. Thank you. So some write-in categories, just so we're all on the same page. We have write-in categories for omniscient. It's spelled up on the board. Omniscient, which means all-knowing. We have a write-in category of omnipotent, which is on the board, means all-powerful. And there's another one on the board. Anyone want to shout that one out?
Omnipresent.
Omnipresent. And that means
everywhere,
all at the same time. That's how big our God is. We also have a write-in category of excuses. We have another category, integrity, selfish, blessing, accountability, and forgiveness. So out of all of the categories that I just listed, plus all the ones we have on the sheet, what categories does verse 14 fall into? We've said evil, wicked, fool.
I think it can go under selfish.
Selfish?
They turn their back on God and they're making their decisions from themselves on this.
Good.
And I think it could also, because they were prideful, and they go their own way instead of going God's way. So.
Good.
I think that seduction point definitely falls under illusion.
And that is true.
Good.
As well.
Illusion?
I had those two, Stevie.
What about accountability?
Yes. In this case, the lack thereof.
Yeah. And then I also put this underneath the sovereignty of God. He will allow us to go our own way, won't he? I know in my world, if our girls were doing something that I felt was stupid, I would do everything I could to stop them when they were little. And now that they're older, I'm more of a coach, and I can't go in and just yank their shirt collars and pull them over, right? So I kind of feel like that must be what God feels like sometimes, because sometimes he sees me doing stupid, stupid things, and I can see he just wants to reach down and shake me. And it's just not what he does, right? He does sometimes, but he doesn't just scoop us up, right? Like I used to with the girls.
Well, so he puts us in tests and like trials for his faith. Like
we have to struggle through it sometimes, don't we?
Yeah, sure. And I come to the conclusion that James says we should be joy that he puts us through trials. We should be grateful and joyful that he puts us. Because if we're not, I come to the conclusion that if we're not joyful or grateful, then there's something wrong.
Right.
And he puts us through tests. But he gives us tools to pass the test. And I'm like, I come to the conclusion instead of God, what are you showing me? God, why are you building through me through this? Because I feel like I can't get questions that I'm asking, show me. I can't. What are you building me through this? What are you bringing?
Right.
So.
Good. So verse 15. Let's go to the next one.
Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him.
What are we talking about here?
Discipline.
Discipline?
We're born with a sin nature.
We are born with a sin nature. So foolishness is bound up inside the child. My grandkids are pretty cute. And they say some of the funniest things. But then I have to remember that sometimes they're just being disobedient. But it's so cute when they are.
I don't even think. I think you just we have a sin nature. You're naturally going to sin. You don't even have to be, you don't even have to be taught.
Yeah.
How to, or.
Yep, you don't have to be taught to how to do it wrong. So what categories can we assign verse 15 to?
Mercy.
Ooh, okay. Why would you say mercy?
Because there's still mercy in that.
Mm-hmm. There is. You show mercy when you are giving correction, don't you? Mm-hmm. Good. Very good. Because you show love at the same time.
I'm on the Book of Kings right now with the Bible Plan of the Year, and I've been noticing like so many tribes and talking about playing with their fathers today. Mm-hmm. There's been a few in there that God has taken away stuff, like Solomon,
mm-hmm.
but yet let him keep his wisdom and all that, and it's mercy.
Yep, it's good. What else?
I think fools.
Why is that?
So, the folly burn up the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives things far from him. So, like, it's kind of like when you get far from God, that's why I pull up for fools, because they don't like the discipline from God, so they mm-hmm. always want to
okay, pull away. Back. Yep. What other categories can we assign this to?
Path? Not that we're going to live a sinless life, but... if you catch certain things or maybe certain habits, especially when you're younger, they'll stick with you throughout all your years.
Right. Good path. Good.
I think to go along with what Eli said, instruction.
Yeah.
Definitely kind of addresses, you know, the second part of the verse, the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And then I even went ahead and put it in parents and children as well.
Good. Parents and children, instruction.
I think also wisdom, because you got to know what to say, how to say it.
Yep. Goes back to the verse we had earlier in this chapter, which was raise up a child in the way they understand. Not the way that they should go, but the way that they understand. Raise them how they understand being what is correct and what is not right, right? Understanding your children and how to teach them. Because each one of them is different. What about obedience or integrity? And then I also wrote down blessing. Because children really are a blessing. I'm not sure how much I was one to my mom and dad, but somewhere along the line, I at least was once.
Up to a certain age, they can also put in the mm-hmm. innocent category.
Yeah.
Because they don't know.
They don't know.
Being silly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So how about verse 16? The last verse in this particular section, then we change what we're doing. Verse 16, who's got that?
Oppressing the poor to enrich oneself and give to the rich, both led only to poverty.
Okay. So what two things lead to poverty here?
It's off topic, but I just want to point out that the first verse of 22, or the first two verses, have something to do with silver, gold, wealth, and all that. The last verse of this section also talks about being rich, taking from the poor.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Not sure what that means for the whole chapter, but it's there.
It's there.
I think that oppressing is almost a form of taking advantage of the poor.
Yeah.
So that they can increase their own riches, you know.
So taking advantage or oppressing the poor. What's the other way that you can lead to poverty? you're giving gifts to the rich, it has this idea of bribery. Okay? So bribery and oppressing others leads to poverty. So the question is, it can be wealth, right? Our money, our wealth, our fortune. What else could this be? If oppressing others and bribing people.
Thieves and sluggards.
Yeah.
We're going to give to the rich then?
We do that already.
The more I look at it, whoever opposes the poor, it's basically whoever ignores the poor, whoever ignores the needy. They're increasing their own wealth. But then again, they're like, oh, you got money, here, I give you more.
Right.
Like, it's kind of like when Jesus is like, where were you asking, where were you when I needed you, or something like that.
Good.
It's kind of funny because this verse reminds me of something I had to write today. I had to write a paper on a policy that I'd seen that Indiana was trying to implement, but it got shut down fairly quickly. But basically, it was a policy where if you were going to find anyone homeless in any public space, sitting there trying to get money, or any tent, or them sleeping, then they would cite them and give them like a $500 ticket. And if they get so many tickets, and they get sent to prison, and whatever political stance people are on, or whatever, yay or nay. But it's just kind of funny because it kind of reminds me of this verse a little bit, where it doesn't make sense if there's somebody that's already homeless and low income to find them over and over and over again until eventually they go to prison. You know, where it's like, well, they're already low income. You know, there's no way they're going to be able to pay that off, and they kind of end up in that trap a little bit. And it's just for the public spaces like businesses and stuff, so they don't have the people sitting around and stuff. But yeah.
Interesting.
And
they can get more tax dollars
that way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like they're not going to get that money from people that are homeless, because there's no way that somebody that's homeless has $500 with them.
So that got shut down?
Yeah, very quickly. Very quickly.
Good.
Good.
So what categories can we assign verse 16 to then?
Money.
Money? What else?
Poor and needy.
Poor and needy?
Fools.
Yes.
Wicked.
Somebody had already said thieves and sluggards, right?
Yep. I shoved this way down in the disrespect and illusion categories and greed.
It's also made on pride because they give to the rich, not the poor.
Yeah.
Thinking of it kind of the opposite way, I mean, I feel like it's almost they're lacking in discernment.
Yep.
Coveting.
Coveting. Discernment. Okay, so this next section goes on for a couple of chapters, and through end of verse 29, we have several different sayings of the wise. So what many smart people have said is that what Solomon did in this section is he took some of the wise sayings of Egypt, Aramaic people, the Egyptians, Amenemhep was his name, or something like that, in Egypt, and then there was one in um, Aramaic, and then there was others, Babylon, and there was other wise sayings. And then what he did was he took all these sayings that he liked, and then he put them into the framework of the fear of God, right? So aligning Christ, or excuse me, aligning God, our belief in God, into some of these sayings. So this goes on for the rest of 22, 23, and into 24. And then, and kind of in the middle of 24, we get some more of these kinds of things. Okay, so we kind of change where we are, but there's about 30 of them throughout this entire section. This next section we're going to start studying. So I'll tell you right now how, so if you want to mark in your Bible or if you want to write on a piece of paper or whatever. So verses 17 through 21 are one saying.
Oh, really?
22 through 23, saying number two. 24 and 25 is three. 26 and 27 is four. 28 is by itself. And 29 is by itself. So we'll have six sayings here. Okay, that's kind of how we'll end the night.
So you said 24 and 25 were together?
Yes.
And then what was the next one?
26 and 27. Okay. And then 28 is by itself, and 29 is by itself.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Mine are kind of separated out, so it's kind of nice.
Good. I relied on a commentary to help me. Mine were also separated, but sometimes they, moving forward, they'll overlap almost. It's kind of weird. So it all depends on what Bible you have and how they wrote it out, and the people doing the analysis separated things. So chapters and verses are sometimes inconsequential sometimes, but anyway. So verse 17 through 21 is, and the way I like to look at these, they're conversations, right? So 17 through 21 introduces this whole idea of what we've talked about, like in the first nine chapters, and then it introduces this whole idea of all of these wise sayings, okay? So would you be willing to read 17 through 21?
Listen carefully and hear the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant to you if you keep them in mind, incorporating them as guiding principles. Let them be ready on your lips to guide and strengthen yourself and others, so that your trust and reliance and confidence may be in the Lord. I have taught you these things today, even to you. I have not written to you excellent things in counsels and knowledge to let you know the truth of to let you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may give a correct answer to him who sent you.
Okay.
So this is still coming from Solomon?
Yes. These are still coming from Solomon. And it's interesting that in your verse 20, you made this statement, have I not written these excellent things?
I said it wrong.
Yeah.
Have I not written to you these excellent things and counsels of knowledge to let you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may give a correct answer to him who sent you?
Yeah.
Mine says, haven't I written you 30 sayings about counsel and knowledge?
Yeah. So, right. So that's what I was getting ready to say. So, depends on whether yours is translated. If you're written with the Septuagint in the text, or if it references it down in the bottom, or if you're reading your text reads the original and then references the Septuagint. That's kind of the difference here. But nonetheless, we have 30 sayings, and this is kind of the summary, and this is number one, but it's a summary of everything that he has said. So what's he kind of talking about here throughout this conversation? These are conversations. What are we challenged to do inside this conversation?
Well,
What's that?
Examine it.
Understand, learn the wise things and knowledge, and so that you know how to answer people with questions.
Good.
Is he saying the 30 he's referring to, is that from verse 17 to what are the 30? So I'm counting more than the 30 little passages blocked out.
Right. So.
I'm sorry.
No worries.
I'm hanging up on a small thing.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's get that cleared out. So here we go. Chapter 22. Verse 17 through 21 is number 1. 22 through 23 is number 2. 24 and 25, number 3. 26 and 27, number 4. Number 28 is 5. And number 29 is 6. Then we go into verse 20, or chapter 23, verses 1 through 3. That's number 7. Verses 23, or excuse me, chapter 23, verses 4 and 5. That's number 8. Verses 6 through 8. That's number 9. Verse 9 is saying number 10. Verses 10 through 11 is number 11. 23, chapter 23, verse 12 is number 12. Verses 13 to 14 is number 13. Verses 15 and 16 say number 14. 17 and 18, say number 15. Verses 19 through 21, 16. Chapter 23, verses 22 through 25, 17. 26 through 28, number 18. Chapter 23, verses 29 through 35, number 19. Chapter 24, verses 1 through 2, that's number 20. 24, verses 3 through 4, number 21. Verses 5 and 6, that's 22. Verse number 7 is 23. Chapter 24, verses 8 through 9, 24. Verses 10 through 12, number 25. Chapter 24, verses 13 through 14, 26. 15 through 16, 27. 17 through 18, 28. Chapter 24, verse 19 through 20, is number 29. And 24, verses 21 through 22. So chapter 24, verses 21 through 22 is number 30. Those are the 30 sayings that he's talking about. Then there are more sayings up through verse 25, or chapter 25. We'll break those out another day. Okay?
Thank you.
Yep. So, back through chapter 22, verses 17 through 21.
I think he's kind of giving us that, he's reiterating some of the things that we've we've heard from him, you know, he's, hey, be ready for wisdom, incline your ear, hear the words, you know, kind of those actions thing, apply them to your heart. And then he's, you know, then he's saying, hey, then you've, you know, that's going to result in trust. I've instructed you. He's kind of, like I said, summarizing that whole, some of those actions around wisdom and the why behind why you want to pay attention and be ready. And so, yeah, that made any sense.
Yes. So it's a summary. So what is the purpose of these 30 sayings? We kind of picked that up in verse 20 and 21. What is the purpose and what are we to do with them?
Know them and use them.
We are to know them and use them. How are we supposed to know them?
Mm-hmm. Good question.
In study.
It says, in order to teach you true and reliable words so that you may give dependable report to those who see it.
Yeah. Good.
Sent you.
Yeah. So we're supposed to know them well enough to teach others, right? Yeah. That's the whole purpose of this, so that we can teach someone else what all these things mean. So what category would you assign verses 17 through 21? This summary, this idea. Hey, this is what these are for. Pay attention. What categories would you assign verses 17 through 21?
Instruction.
Good. Instruction.
You could even put it in counsel.
You could put it in counsel. Is there anyone on this list who is responsible for giving instruction?
Parents.
There you go. That's a good one. Parents.
Truth.
Truth. How about obedience?
Yes.
Okay. So, let's get on to number 2, verses 22 through 23, please.
Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and rob the life of those who rob them.
Okay. So what are we talking about here? More of these things we're not supposed to do to the poor people, right? Those who are poverty stricken.
Mine says, don't crush the afflicted by legal proceedings at the gate where the city court was held.
Yeah.
So false or petty court cases.
Oh, kind of like what Hannah just gave us a great description of.
Mm-hmm.
And who fights on their behalf? Who stands in the way?
The Lord.
Yeah. Remember, I don't ask hard questions. They're usually, the answers are right there in the next words of the text. The Lord stands in the way. Who do you want to fight? I don't want to fight God.
No.
I've done that. It's not fun. Somehow I always lose. I don't understand. Maybe you've never done that. I've fought, and it's terrible. What categories can we then assign verses 22 and 23?
I'm going to say mercy, But I think I like the word 23 says, for the Lord will champion their cause. That's the same thing Jesus does for us when it comes to our sin. You know, we're the ones showing up to heaven, the fortified fortress. God very well could plunder us at the gates, but he doesn't. Jesus intercedes as and champions for us.
Isn't that awesome?
Can you judge on the list?
Judge?
Judge.
Easy to read version. I have to go with that. It says, it's easy to steal from the poor, but don't do it. And don't take advantage of them in court. The Lord is on their side. He supports the poor, and he will take from those who take from them.
Good.
I had to go to
an easier version.
To understand.
Yeah, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. That's why God made them. Mm-hmm. That's why they're out there, so we can all read them.
I like how it said, don't do it.
Though. Don't do it.
It's easy to take on them, just don't do it.
Yeah, good. Are there any other categories we could assign 22 and 23 to?
I think the poor and needy. Yeah.
Poor and needy? Shows great disrespect and selfishness, doesn't it?
It does, pridefulness too.
Pride?
Be diligent with co-workers. Because some people are in charge of money at night, or some waitresses forget, you know, to leave, take their money with them because they're busy, and cooks or other.
Maybe not diligent workers, but I don't think it's a bad answer. I think maybe we could assign that into the idea of accountability
or greed.
Yeah, I think greed would fall into that pretty well. You know, if someone leaves their tips behind, you don't take them, right? They need to be set waiting. And when we take them, we're stealing from someone else. Greed. Good.
I think poor is not... I don't think it's just money related as well. Mm-hmm. It could be poor in spirit. I mean, it could be just because somebody's acting foolish or... not necessarily has a high moral decision compass at the moment. I think that you could be, the poor could be referencing both monetary and just poor in spirit in that sense, you know? It's not okay for us to just take advantage of a person, whether they're poor monetarily or poor spiritually as well. I think it's kind of covering both of those.
It's kind of the statement of, well, if you would do this, then you'd be more spiritual. But since you're not, you need to do these other things. Kind of taking advantage of them. Yeah, very good. That's a very good example outside of the money realm. Poor doesn't necessarily mean no money.
I mean, you could be looking at somebody who's rich in the I mean, they could be millionaire, you know, but maybe they're, like I said, that poor in spirit.
I think that world wants to look at it as money, but as we're the child of God, we walk in the spiritual level too, so I like to answer that.
Yeah, well, and I think if we think about the book of Proverbs, we've talked about kind of that exact scenario of a person many, many times. It's like they can be rich, but you know, they don't have wisdom, they don't have discernment, they're, you know, having a hard time in those areas. You know, God's working on them in those areas, kind of thing, you know.
Good.
So it's kind of, you know, don't kick somebody when they're down. It's the same in that realm as well, not just when it comes to money.
Good. I like it.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I think it encompasses both.
Yeah. Well, everything in Proverbs seems to talk out of two sides, right?
Well,
both a physical, real world, and where we are with our relationship with God.
Right. And it's and the, you know, the Lord will plead their cause and plunder of the soul of those who plunder them. It still applies in either scenario.
Good. Verse 24 and 25. Are we still surviving all the storms outside?
From what I can tell, yes.
Okay.
It's going to, yeah, here, whatever. Not before too long, but yeah.
Verses 24 and 25. Here we go.
Don't make friends with an angry person, and do not be companion of a hot tempered one, or you will learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare.
Be careful who you hang out with.
Yeah, I think that summarizes that one.
I think that definitely 24 and 25 are under the friends category.
Yeah. Friends category. 24 and 25, category friends.
What about wise?
Sure. I like that. Wise. Any other categories you'd throw that under?
Self. Discernment?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
There you go. Discernment?
Yeah. We've got influence, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Influence?
And then instruction.
Instruction?
What about counsel?
Yes. What about disrespect? What about accountability? What are those write-ins?
Firm foundation.
How about kindness? Kind of looking at the opposite of what we're talking about here.
Sorry.
What, how do we need to behave, right? Okay, verses 26 through 27, please.
Don't be one of those who enter agreements, who put up security for loans. If you have nothing with which to pay, even your bed will be taken from under you.
What are we talking about here?
Don't take out a loan if you don't have anything to cover it right then.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not really just your loan, it's the other loans.
Yeah.
Don't be the guarantor.
Don't be the guarantor of someone else who can't pay. Otherwise, you'll end up losing your shirt. Right? My dad co-signed a loan with me one time. And the rule was, if you don't pay your car payment, I get the car for the next month. Dad never paid a car payment. She did. My dad didn't.
That's my dad's rule, too.
Yeah. That was...
That was the only time that ever happened.
All right, what are we talking about here?
It's addressing, certainly, how to handle money.
How to handle money. And how to not make rash decisions, right? Hey, I'll guarantee that for you. Yeah, don't do that. Don't make a rash decision just because it's your buddy or your friend or whatever. You got to be wise. You have to discern things. Verse 26 and 7.
If you can afford it, that's fine. If you want to do that, but you have to be prepared not to get repaid.
Yep, and not hold it against them.
Been there, done that,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what categories would you assign 26 and 27?
Wise.
Wise. Money. Okay. Money.
I think you said discernment.
Discernment. Can we want something so much that we're willing to do anything for it? Coveting, greed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We can.
Yeah, but it depends on what it is.
Yep. Coveting. Greedy.
I feel like this is even not having a respect for what God has given you. If you're willing to give up the things you have, for other more stupid reasons,
contentment, kind of falling in that category you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, contentment.
You should also be prideful because you want more. So
yeah,
you're not always obeying God.
Well, and when that, if you have taken out or the guarantor of another person's loan, when they can't pay, it's going to really fall back on you.
Right.
Exactly. I don't even know if they have any consequence, really, because it's going to go to you.
Right. They can walk away.
Yeah.
You're left holding the bag because you're the responsible one. Hmm. Yep. All right, verse 28, all by itself.
Do not move the ancient boundary which your fathers have set.
Oh,
no. All right.
It's ominous.
Yeah. Let me give you one word.
Lying.
Do what?
Lying or coveting.
Lying, coveting, greed, fraud.
Does this have any historical,
yeah.
My eyes, is this like a physical rock that's been set up, like saying, like,
yeah,
what we own is that over there? Okay.
Yeah.
So, imagine, one of the things that happened when the children of Israel came into the promised land, right? After they had some battles and they fought and they got some land and they did some stuff, they dropped Jesus there.
I didn't know he was in there.
They broke up the land, right, in different parts. Everybody got a little piece according to their tribe and where they were and all of that, right? Imagine if I'll just not be able to do this. Imagine if we'll just set these here, these numbers here, 1 through 5. Let's just imagine tribe number 1 moved the boundary stone just a little bit over here. And they stole a little bit from 5 and they stole all this from 2.
Didn't God set those boundaries?
Yeah, God set the boundary. Good observation.
It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, God set the boundary. But if they moved the stone, then they got a little more. Right? And if 2 decided, you know what, 1 has moved the boundary on me, I'm moving it over here to 3 and 4 because they're littler and they can't beat me up and I can bully them and now I'm going to take more space. And maybe they decide, I'm going to move that boundary stone back to where it wasn't and take a little bit more of number 1. See how this creates a problem, right? We're always fighting over what's mine and what's yours. It's also fraudulent. Because you say, oh no, our boundary stone is here, I moved it over, you're stealing. It's fraud. We today would call that fraud because we don't like to use the words, oh, you stole inside the bank. We use the words fraud, right? But basically, you're moving something to benefit yourself that hurts someone else. That's the whole idea behind these boundary stones. I get more land than you do. I'm going to take this. I'm going to move the stone so that that's what it looks like. And then I'm going to walk in a straight line to wherever the next one is.
and move it. So gaining more. So what categories? I think we've had coveting, greed,
lying.
Coveting, greed, lying.
We could even go so far as to come down to sovereign. God was sovereign in the sense that he already had a plan. He set those boundaries.
He set the boundaries. What about honor? Honoring the boundary stone and honoring the limits.
Self-control.
Mm-hmm. Good.
You could go in, Eli mentioned this earlier, I think, or maybe it was Eli. I think we could even go with contentment, you know, kind of mm-hmm. like, here's what God said.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think God set their individual property. He set, like, you go to the Jordan River, well, they went past the Jordan River on both sides of it to the sea. You can go this far north and this far south. But he told them to divvy up the land individually based on their family size and their need and the number of animals they had and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think God set individual property, but as a whole.
Right. He set the whole boundary, which is three times what they currently have today. Three or four times what they currently have today. Right? Because it goes from the Jordan.
Well, it's on the other side of Jordan.
Yeah, on the other side of the Jordan. I'm sorry. Yeah, from the Nile all the way over to here. Right? Into current day Iraq, Iran. Into those provinces, right? It was way out there. It was much farther than what they ever... took.
There were three tribes on the east side of the Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was half tribe of Manasseh, right?
Mm-hmm. Half the tribe of Manasseh. Mm-hmm.
The son and something else. It says in Deuteronomy 27:17, it says, cursed is he who moves his neighbor's boundary mark, and all the people shall say, amen. And it goes back. Really all the way to Genesis, but
right.
Deuteronomy 19:14, it says, you shall not move your neighbor's boundary mark or stone, which the ancestors have set in your inheritance, which you will inherit in the land that the Lord God gives you to possess.
Oh, of course, that land was with them throughout generations.
Mm-hmm.
And if they got dispossessed from that land, and the land year of Jubilee, they got to go back.
They received it back, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Yep. I think that's a good place to stop. We'll start next week in verse 29, which will be, I don't remember because I didn't write them down as I was saying them, but 6 or 7.
Six.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Well, let's pray. And then we'll move on. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you and we thank you for the opportunity to sit and listen and hear your words. Lord, we do thank you for King Solomon writing these things and talking to us sincerely from his heart and from you because you gave him all these things to say. Pray, Lord, that we would walk away this week challenged, encouraged, and thinking about how to better behave as a representative of you. Give us words to teach others and allow us the opportunity to show your grace. May we honor you and glorify you in all the things we do this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
And guess what?